This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned. And we have with us Teresa Gutierrez of the International Action Center joining us from New York. Teresa, thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this.
Well, we appreciate that you were able to be with us. Can we first let the listeners know, who may be somewhat new to this program, about the International Action Center, what you all do there, what it's all about?
Okay. The International Action Center is a anti-racist, anti-war organization that has been around for over 10 years. We are very actively involved in opposing any U.S. intervention anywhere around the world, whether it be Kosovo, Yugoslavia, or anywhere in Latin America or the Caribbean. We work actively and aggressively to oppose U.S. intervention. Our philosophy also is that you cannot talk about peace abroad without talking about peace at home. So we are also very active in the struggle against racism here at home, and in particular are focusing right now on the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal and see it very much linked to the struggle for justice abroad.
We're speaking with Teresa Gutierrez of the International Action Center. Teresa, you're with us primarily today to talk about the situation in Colombia. And certainly from what I'm seeing in the news and what I'm reading, the U.S. is becoming ever more involved in the situation down there. Can you let our listeners know about what's been happening in Colombia, perhaps a little of the historical perspective, and then what's going on regarding U.S. involvement?
Okay. Well, it is very timely that you have this show, and a lot more needs to be done about exposing what has been going on by the U.S. in Colombia for a long time. It has been slowly encroaching the policy by the U.S. government that is quickly leading to U.S. intervention in Colombia becoming Washington's first large-scale military involvement in Latin America since the so-called Cold War. We have a situation in Colombia that it's important to note that Colombia has the longest-running revolutionary armed movement in all of Latin America, the FARC and the ELN, which the National Liberation Army, have been involved in fighting against injustice in Colombia for a long time. And so for a long time, the U.S. government has been moving in and working to suppress the people's movement there. Its latest tactic, as has been in the last two or three years, has been moving in to intervene in Colombia under the guise of fighting drugs. I think that anybody who is aware of the drug problem in this country knows that this is a bogus cover for what it really amounts to intervention against a guerrilla movement. Just yesterday, it was revealed that the Clinton administration has agreed to buy 30 Black Hawk helicopters, each selling at $12.8 million. It amounts to a deal with one of the major military defense contractors of about $400 million. The big struggle in Congress had been, is the U.S. going to buy a Black Hawk or is it going to buy a Huey helicopter? Huey sell for about $1.8 million. Our view is that it shouldn't be a Black Hawk, it shouldn't be a Huey. It's not a question of which is cheaper or what. Our issue has to be no military involvement in Colombia at all. If the U.S. government wants to fight drugs, then it should begin by directing this money that is being spent on war and directed instead into rehabilitation and education on the drug issue. As we all know, the U.S. is the number one user of drugs, and what's needed is an educational and social service war to fight that problem, not a war against the peasants in Colombia. And so it's very important. We have got to get to the point in the United States of building a solidarity movement with the struggle in Colombia, like that we built in the 80s with regards to the struggle in Nicaragua and El Salvador. It's just as important, and probably more important, because the world has changed dramatically since the 80s. And you now have a world situation where the U.S. thinks that it's the number one superpower in the entire world and feels free to run around the world and intervene, creating havoc and misery and killing people at great numbers without anyone to stop them. So it's very important for us to have an anti-war movement with regards to Colombia.
We're talking with Teresa Gutierrez of the International Action Center, and we're talking about U.S. involvement in Colombia, which is increasing ever more so even as we speak. My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. Teresa, there are a couple of things that come to mind while you're talking that perhaps we could talk some more about. One of them, of course, is, as I understand it, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of violence going on in Colombia, and that, as more often than not seems to be the case, a good deal of this violence, if not most of this violence, if not the vast majority of this violence, is being perpetrated by so-called paramilitary groups. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's well known that the government has a behind-the-scenes support of these death squads, and the death squads are the have been proven to be the cause of the nearly 40,000 people who have been killed in Colombia during this period. The vast majority of the 40,000 that have been killed by either the military or these death squads. One of the points that's being raised by the U.S. and the Colombian government is that these death squads should participate in the negotiating table. And I think that we should oppose that very, very strong. They have no right to be sitting there. But we should also be careful to show that Pastrani, in some circles, is portrayed as a human, peaceful. His mission is for peace, but really the death squads and the continued existence of the death squads, the fact that they have not punished any of the death squads or made an attempt to arrest them, indicates that Pastrani may be seen in his tactics as using the carrot. But behind the scenes, he's very much allowing the death squads to be used as the stick. It's important to point out that, in the past 5 years, no one has been arrested or tried for any of the murders that have been going on against unionists or other political leaders. As you say, there's been a lot of violence and a lot of leaders have been killed. During a period when the revolutionary movement surfaced and organized politically in elections and so forth, 800 of their leaders were killed in a few years period, showing that there's very little option except armed struggle in Colombia. They attempted to engage politically, and assassinations abounded, and there was no arrest or anyone tried. On the other hand, you have any unionists, for example, who strike or otherwise defend their rights, many of them have been prosecuted in courts, and judges and witnesses that that are hidden can be admitted. So we see that nothing is done about the death squads, despite the unemployment, despite the hunger, despite the repression on well-meaning and progressive organizations, nothing is done. And this is another example of why the U.S. government's policies in Colombia are deadly and hypocritical.
We're talking with Teresa Gutierrez of the International Action Center. Teresa, another thought that comes to my mind is, as I understand it, and very often the justification, if you will, or the the rationalization is that somehow or another these paramilitary groups are operating outside of the military and they're really not under the control of the military. As I understand it, in Colombia, that has been proven to be not the case, that in fact the paramilitary death squads have been proven to be connected to and under the control of the military, correct?
That's right. That's correct. It has. They have said it over and over again. And I think we should bring it back home. I don't think it's any coincidence that when the civil rights black liberation movement was strong in the 60s, why is it that the government was able to do away with the Black Panther Party? They were arrested, they were hounded, they were executed, they were assassinated. The Black Panther Party was gotten rid of by the U.S. government, yet the Ku Klux Klan and other right-wing organizations have never experienced the kind of war against them that the U.S. government waged against Black liberation or Latino organizations. And it's that kind of double standard that exists where, you know, organizations that fight for genuine liberation or genuine social change experience the wrath of the state, either here in the U.S. or in Colombia. And we know that Colombia's government, even though it may have a softer look one year or a harder look another, it's inherently doing the bidding of the IMF. And that's what's at stake here, is that the Colombian revolutionary movement is trying to change that. It's trying to bring some justice to the people, 30% of which are campesinos or peasants or indigenous. And we know the situation. It's been well documented about the situation for indigenous people throughout the hemisphere. And that's nothing new. It's nothing that can be debated. And Colombia's revolutionary movement is trying to bring some change to that situation. And as long as drugs are so profitable, we know that the U.S. government is not going to really, really fight that. I think that some of the statistics show that the traffic of narcotics amounts to about $3 to $5 billion per year. It's one of Colombia's top export industries. And despite the fact that the banks in the United States may appear removed from this development, that is the furthest thing from the truth. In the 80s, all the major banks in the United States were fined and caught red-handed. And we know that they're very, very involved in the laundering of money. How else would the money get here? Why is it that they can't stop drugs? Because it's too lucrative a business. It's just like the slavery trade before that. You know, the interest on $1 billion at just 6% comes to about $60 million. That's a lot of money. You know that the banks are going to have to be involved in that, because it's too lucrative. And despite the fact that all the banks have been caught red-handed, that they've all been fined at some point or another, they get away with it and continue to do so. There was the case of the woman who was married to a drug czar in the Navy. I believe her name was Height. I forget her first name, but she was married to the commander of the U.S. Army's anti-drug operation in Colombia. And she was caught, you know, bringing drugs to the United States. And she admitted it. She did a plea bargain. But it was such a cover-up. You know, if this had been someone else, if this had been a person of color or someone not so tied to the government, you can guarantee this would have made major news. And it's just, I think, a tip of the iceberg of what's going on. This is too profitable a business for the banks to be turned away. And as long as that exists, then you're going to have a situation where there's going to be a revolutionary tide, and the U.S. government is going to continue to move in more every single day. And that's what the news of the Clinton administration caving in to buying, you know, these 30, 40 Blackhawks yesterday, that's what it amounts to, is further encroachment of military intervention there. And what's dangerous is that there's not a movement here in the United States in support of the people in Colombia, although that's changing, but we've got to do a lot more.
We're talking with Teresa Gutierrez from the International Action Center about the situation in Colombia. Teresa, you brought up the issue of indigenous people, and we also have the situation of the UWA in Colombia as well, where you have an American oil company, Occidental Petroleum, is attempting to steal their land out from underneath them. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in Colombia and a lot of exploitation, certainly not all of it to do with drugs.
Right, and that's a very important struggle. And it's been heroic, and I think it's getting a lot of recognition here in the United States, and I think we've got to continue to do that. There's a lot of things going on. Last September, there was 20 million Colombians who participated in a two-day strike against the so-called neoliberal policies. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that. What is important, too, that is connected and will help the struggle in Colombia is the events in Seattle last year, where, you know, students and youth and labor activists from the United States really stopped, you know, the proceedings at the World Trade Organization meeting last year. And this is very important. This is a sign that the policies of the IMF that create such misery and such exploitation, you know, the sweatshops, the unemployment and so forth, it's just something that can't be defended any longer. And so I think the upcoming activities in Washington, D.C. in April against the IMF meeting are going to be an important activity. We should bring the issue of intervention or against intervention of Colombia by the U.S. to these demonstrations. We should make it part and parcel of that struggle. I think that's very important. And I think that will be very helpful to bring in those issues to Colombia. The attacks against people of color or the third world around the world are economic and they're military, and we should link them every opportunity that we have.
We're talking with Teresa Gutierrez of the International Action Center. Teresa, you bring up the upcoming IMF World Bank meeting, which is going to be taking place in Washington in mid-April. It certainly seems that a number of groups are beginning to focus on that meeting as a place to raise the voices of protest, as happened in Seattle. I mean, it certainly seems this is going to be another major front on the battle.
That's correct. I mean, you never know, you know, how it'll play out, and you can't automatically or can't be guaranteed that it'll be duplicated from Seattle. But we hope so, and we hope that it's an indication of a rising movement in the United States. I think that students and youth are playing a leading role in bringing the issue of sweatshops and IMF conditions to the forefront of the political arena in this country. And I think it'll be very important. And, you know, the Clinton administration has to be held accountable for its role in all of this, not only in Colombia, but, you know, we still see millions of children in Iraq being starved to death. We still have the blockade of Cuba and so on and so forth. The situation in Mexico, the students that held this heroic strike at the major university in Mexico and are now in jail. You know, there's a lot of things that we've got to bring to the demonstrations in April in Washington, D.C. I also want to mention that here in New York, talking about the struggle against racism, there's going to be a major event for Mumia Abu-Jamal on May the 7th. We here at the International Action Center, one of our organizations here is Millions for Mumia, and we have obtained Madison Square Garden for May the 7th. And I think that bringing the case of Mumia, which is also about the death penalty and the growing repression, police misconduct, police brutality, are the number one issues in the United States. It's the war at home, basically. And I think being able to bring this to the Garden in a venue that is so prestigious will help the struggle here in the United States. And whenever we can have a strong struggle in the United States, we feel very, very deeply that it helps the struggles around the world. Because it's the U.S. government that is the center of all the misery and exploitation of millions of people around the world. The IMF sits here. The Wall Street is centered here. The Pentagon is centered in this country. And our movement in the United States is extremely, extremely critical. And if we can win a new trial for Mumia, I think it goes part and parcel with winning justice for people in Colombia and around the world.
Well, it's a very interesting point that you bring up, is how all of these various struggles are interrelated on one or more levels.
That's correct. I think so, too. I think that we saw that in the 60s. We learned a lot from the Vietnam, the struggle against the Vietnam War, and it was the rise in the struggle of the war in Vietnam that helped the black liberation and Latino liberation struggles. And we have an opportunity in the year 2000 to link those struggles and make it one movement. And I think that is a very powerful message to the U.S. government.
We've been speaking with Teresa Gutierrez of the International Action Center. Teresa, we just have a few minutes left. What I'd like to do is ask you if you have any final thoughts for our audience today, and also if they wanted to get more information about the International Action Center or find ways to participate in these various struggles, how would they go about doing that?
Okay. One final message is that we've got to work very hard to oppose U.S. aid to the Colombian military. The Pentagon needs to get out of Colombia. I think it's important for us to recognize the FARC and the ELN as legitimate political actors. We want to recognize their belligerent status, and we want the State Department to drop them from their terrorist list. We've got to build a solidarity movement with the people of Colombia and hope that they will win the victory that they aspire to do. If people want to get involved with the International Action Center, you can send an email to iacenter@iacenter.org, or you can call us at 212-633-6646. That's iacenter@iacenter.org, or 212-633-6646, and we have chapters in several cities throughout the United States.
Teresa Gutierrez of the International Action Center, thank you for being with us on the program. Hopefully we can check in with you in the near future.
Great.
To keep tabs on what's happening in Colombia and with
Great.
The movement to help free Mumia.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the program today. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and it's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you Full Logic Reverse. If you'd like more information about FLR, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by telephone, 530-271-0804. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.